Chapter 4. Children of the Serpent. Even among the mighty windscrapers of Ascension City, the Navigator Hall stood tall and proud. The mighty edifices, each stretched over multiple city blocks, were built of ferrocrete for structural strength, but clad in square miles of the finest marble and punctuated with windows of glassaic that would have taken up the entire sides of buildings on lesser worlds. Sentinel-sized gargoyles clung to cornices and leered over precipitous ledges. Gold leaf and filigree had settled on surfaces like great colonies of roosting insects. House sigils were picked out in platinum and precious stones and subtly illuminated so that they blazed out into the night of Vorlisi's 27-hour rotation. As a planet on one of the main warp routes to Holy Terra and a proud survivor of the Despoilers' assault during the 13th Black Crusade, Vorlisi was the seat of power for several of the largest navigator houses, and they advertised that power. Despite their appearance, however, the halls were not mere ostentatious frippery. They stood independent of the webwork of enclosed gantries and procession ways that linked the other buildings around them, and any flyer not broadcasting approved security codes would be shot down in short order if they approached too closely. At ground level, razor wire and other, less obvious deterrents prevented the curious or malicious from drawing near. Even the most desperate denizens of the smog deeps knew better than to approach a navigator hall, even if they had no concept of what one actually was or who dwelled within. Navigators were paranoid, and as mutants in an imperium that widely reviled and hunted mutants, they were wise to be so. All these things would pose a severe obstacle to most people who intended to harm a navigator. But Radomir Niklau was not most people. He could get inside every one of these heavily defended palaces should he choose to. But such a venture was not without risk, and Niklau had not gained the favour of his patrons, his true patrons, by being careless. There were easier measures that could be taken for now. Later, when the prey became more cautious, he could utilise his more esoteric skills. For now, he needed information. He let his instincts take him past the teeming marketplaces, down through the great thoroughfares where the faceless, grey-souled masses of the Imperium's chattel dragged themselves to or from their place of employ at the sound of the shift-change klaxon, over a spindly-looking crossway that swayed in the wind between blocks and was clustered with lights in an effort to prevent flyers from colliding with it, around the gently humming sealed chambers where the power generators throbbed. After a while, he became consciously aware of what was guiding his steps. "I've seen you before," Radomir murmured, eyeing a sigil in the smear of graffiti and gang signs that crawled down one wall of a throughway. It was a crude depiction of a crowned serpent, not particularly large or ostentatious, and not created with any remarkable degree of artistic skill, but it had caught his eye. There had been another, one block back in the same style and with its head pointing towards this one. A trail, perhaps? But leading where? This serpent had a kink in its neck, suggesting that he should turn right at the next junction. He did so and found his next guide some way down the passage, nestling beside a flickering strip lumen in the ceiling. That one sent him on to its fellow, scratched into the wall above a garbage compactor. He nearly missed the next, half concealed as it was by a wanted poster for an outlaw, going by the name of Emerson Tobias, who, from the look of the bad picked, seemed to be a sort of foppish dandy with an overfondness for knives. However, a quick easing aside of the text describing Tobias's misdeeds gave Radomir the direction he needed to take at his next turning, up a long flight of stairs into a wide public atrium. Here, he slowed, feeling uncertainty gnawing at him for the first time. There looked to be only one way in or out of this hall, so presumably, here was where he would find what he sought. But there was always the possibility that the sigils were old, or worse, had already been deciphered by one of the Imperium's watchdogs, yet been left as bait. The illuminators on the walls and ceiling here were close-spaced and in good condition, and there were few places to hide. A very bad place for a fight, should it come to one. Radomir calmed his breathing and ran through a quick mental focusing exercise. Discovery was always possible. But it was highly unlikely that a constant watch was being kept, even if someone had realised what the sigils meant. Besides, entrapment of that sort was incredibly unlikely. The Imperium would almost always destroy such things, if they realised their true nature. Destruction was one of the few things the Imperium excelled at, and the only thing about it that he admired. There, another crowned serpent. But this one was coiled into a circle and eating its own tail, rather than leading him anywhere further. Radomir headed for the door it sat next to, with the easy confidence of a man who had merely taken a moment to get his bearings, and ascended the wide steps of dark stone that led to the pillared entrance. It was a public library. Radomir snorted in quiet amusement. Perhaps there would actually be some true knowledge contained within. The desk clerk was a skinny woman, with thick streaks of grey in her black hair, and whose sense of self-important duty was tangible. She held up a hand as Radomir made to walk past the counter at which she sat, and he paused, studying her.
"Are you a member?"
she demanded, fixing him with a stare that would doubtless have rooted a lesser person to the spot. "No."
"Open browsing is 5 ducats,
the clerk sniffed, jerking her head at a displayed list of prices behind her.
"Borrowing is 2 ducats per item."
Radomir dug into his pocket and pulled out the appropriate coin. He'd already broken down some of the money he'd received from Kel, Volesian ducats, apparently, precisely to avoid being remembered as the man who tried to pay for something as mundane as library admittance with a high denomination piece. He slid it across the counter, and the clerk took it, tucking it into a till that clicked as its inbuilt counter registered it. There were no opportunities for light-fingered employees here, clearly. The clerk returned to her filing, ignoring him now that he'd paid his way. There was nothing about her to indicate that she was who he sought. She was merely another unthinking wheel in the Imperium's enormous, corroded machine. Radomir moved on. It was some 10 minutes later when he found what he was looking for. 2 rows away from where the data crystals sat, on dusty shelves interspersed with cogitators, in among the genuine books that reeked of leather and paper, old glue and mouldering dust, a tall man, with angular cheekbones and eyes of quiet hazel, was replacing tomes on a shelf. As he did so, the light glittered for a moment off a ring on his left forefinger, a crowned serpent, wrought in silver, eating its own tail.
"A fine place you have here,"
Radomir remarked, approaching him from the right. The man turned to him, a gentle smile on his face.
"I like to think so. Suleiman Eichner, a senior archivist."
He proffered a hand, which Radomir took.
"Radomir Niklau."
"And what brings you to our collection today, good sire Niklau?"
Eichner smiled.
"Serpents."
Eichner, on the verge of withdrawing his hand, stiffened involuntarily. Radomir tightened his grip.
"That's a very poor tarot face you have there, senior archivist," he murmured. "Just imagine the trouble you could be in if I were a servant of the Inquisition, instead of the Eightfold Path."
The corner of Eichner's mouth twitched, but his smile was transfixed, like an insect pinned to a display card by a major spiologus.
"Our masters have been watching,"
Radomir continued, the lies slipping easily through his teeth.
"Your efforts have been noted, and your rewards will follow."
He looked into Eichner's eyes, measured the man, considered their surroundings, and took a leap of faith. Many things drew people away from the Emperor's lies, but it was often relatively easy to work out what.
"For a senior archivist, the knowledge you have been seeking will be made available to you."
Eichner's stiffness dissolved into limp relief.
"Oh, thank you, thank you!
But first, I will require assistance,"
Radomir said, holding up a finger to silence Eichner's quiet joy.
"Your assistance and that of your associates."
All things considered, Radomir thought that the Children of the Serpent were a fairly poor collection of worshippers. Suleiman Eichner had been seduced by the search for forbidden knowledge. Radomir hadn't ascertained exactly what, but he hadn't yet fully thrown himself into the work of overthrowing the Imperium and bringing about its downfall. He viewed it as overbearing and constraining, and felt that the dogma of the Ministerium limited humanity's potential to learn and grow, and wanted to bask in the knowledge and glory of the ruinous powers. Radomir agreed wholeheartedly with all of that, but Eichner had yet to wholly understand or commit to the path he'd begun to tread. In time, with the right development, Suleiman Eichner might become the sort of man the Inquisition hunted mercilessly, the sort of man who unlocked the secrets of the warp and inducted multitudes into them. At the moment, however, he was merely a morbidly curious senior archivist with an anti-authoritarian streak and the ability to organise and coordinate a cult. Radomir might take him along when he left Orlesi to its fate. Or he might not. The rest of them, at least of those Eichner had been able to call together at short notice, were the usual mix of malcontents, deviants, and self-important fools who had completely failed to understand what they were getting involved in. There were a handful of sociopaths who simply wanted to hurt and kill people and weren't particularly bothered about what framework it was that allowed them to do it. Put them in carapace and give them an Ordo Hereticus sigil, and they'd probably be just as content to serve as Inquisition shock troops. There were a few mutants of the less obvious sort, the kind that could move about with relative security in hooded cloaks and with respirators over their faces. Then there were a couple of dozen of what Radomir thought of as the family types, folks for whom the worship of chaos had been passed down by previous generations with the same sort of dishwater, dull lack of imagination that most Imperial citizens worship the Emperor. Give them an autogun, point them at the governor's guards, and tell them their day had come, and they'd start a riot, a revolution, or whatever you needed them to. But you couldn't trust one of them to think up anything that would actually bring glory to the ruinous powers. There were four who really stood out to Radomir, aside from Eichner. Svet was a huge mutant, and apparently the brother of three of the family types. He was as large as an ogryn, and had been blessed by the Changer with what looked like to be razor-sharp spurs of bone dotted across his body, particularly from his knee and elbow joints. Unlike an ogryn, however, he appeared to have undiminished intellect compared to his fellows, although he struggled to get words out around his enlarged, tusk-like teeth. Radomir could see that Svet was accorded great respect by the others on account of his blessed appearance, and was offered seating appropriate to his mighty frame, and the best of the available food, which would certainly be preferable to the death by burning promethium he'd suffered if anyone in authority laid eyes on him. Evelyn Dark was a weird, an unsanctioned psyker missed by the sweeps and purges, and therefore not taken by the black ships to be drained to a husk for the benefit of the corpse emperor on his carrion throne. She was a hollowed-out young woman, with dark circles around haunted eyes, and in many other places, she'd have been the leader of the group, as the one with the most obvious power. However, it seemed she preferred to simply sit as far back into the shadows as she could, which was an approach Radomir could identify with. She stared at him distrustfully, but appeared to defer to Eichner's judgment.
"And what do you do?"
Radomir had asked when Eichner introduced them. Dark had looked at Eichner, and the archivist had gestured encouragingly, like a father keen for his child to demonstrate their latest trick.
"I burn things,"
Dark had replied. Then she looked away from him, and that had been that. Then there was Aelin Marjuk, whom Radomir had pegged immediately as a stone-cold killer. Former Astra Militarum, he'd either seen something during his service that his commanding officers hadn't realised he'd seen, or had come to enlightenment at a point soon after his discharge, or more likely, desertion. He watched everyone. Always had one hand on the military-issue las pistol he kept holstered on his left hip, and radiated the sort of passionate belief that Radomir thoroughly approved of. Aelin Marjuk wanted the Imperium to die, even if he wasn't forthcoming about exactly why. He also stuck close by the shoulder of Suleiman Eichner, and was possibly one reason why the apparently amiable senior archivist hadn't endured a serious challenge to his position. Finally, to Radomir's complete lack of surprise, there was Emerson Tobias. Tobias looked even worse than on his wanted poster. Hair that had once been artfully unkempt was now an unwashed mop. Cheeks that had been smooth had become gaunt. Eyes that had been shadowed had become sunken. He was a killer as well. Radomir could practically smell it on him. But Tobias was a self-aggrandizing blowhard. Had Radomir been a gambling man, he'd have wagered good money that Tobias had fallen in with the Children of the Serpent simply because he had nowhere else to go. He didn't have the spine for what was coming.
"What do you need from us?"
Eichner asked respectfully, when Radomir had taken his measure of the room. They were gathered in the halls of a generator chamber. It was apparently where Svet lived, on the basis, according to Eichner, that the only people who ever came in to clean or maintain it were his three brothers.
"I need access to the logs at the spaceport," Radomir said. "Specifically, I need to know the movements of navigators from House Probantis, which ships they are assigned to, when they are scheduled to arrive and depart. The spaceport will have that information, because the security forces need it. I also need it."
"Why?"
It was Emerson Tobias, predictably. He sneered as Radomir looked over him, displaying a set of even white teeth that had remarkably escaped the decline visible on the rest of his face.
"What sort of glory can come from that?" Tobias demanded. "Suleiman said you were here to reward us for our loyalty. I think you're here to use us to pursue a personal grudge."
"Do not confuse your lack of comprehension for my lack of purpose," Radomir told him coldly. "Your reward will come if you prove true. If I were to try to explain the details of my purpose to you, your brain would ooze out of your ears."
Tobias stood, with a dramatic flourish of his coat sleeves.
"I've killed 17 men and women, stranger. 17! All for the glory of the great powers. You?"
Radomir sighed and got to his own feet. He scratched his cheek, considering.
"Somewhere upwards of 14.
Ha!
Billion."
Tobias blinked.
"I've killed entire planets, little man,"
Radomir said softly, walking slowly towards Tobias with his hands in his pockets. The other cultists leaned away, none of them eager to get involved. Marjuk still had one hand on his service las pistol, but he didn't draw.
"I've consigned more souls to screaming torment than you could possibly meet in 1,000 lifetimes. I have purpose. What I don't have is patience with amateurs."
Tobias reached backwards into the shadows under his coat, his hands searching for his knives. But shadows held no secrets from Radomir. He drew two long blades from his pockets, the finest plasteel, with what was presumably the symbol of Tobias's house of minor nobility worked into the hilt. Tobias gaped at seeing his own weapons in another man's hands, then turned to run. Radomir plunged the first blade into his liver. Tobias screamed and staggered sideways, his knees buckling. The second blade reached around and opened his throat, sending a sheet of blood cascading across the floor, from which one of Svet's brothers had apparently mopped only that morning. Radomir kicked Tobias in the back, knocking him onto his face, then dropped the knives and left him to die. He turned back to the rest of the group. Eilen Marjuk still hadn't drawn, but the tension in the man's face and neck was obvious. Radomir could tell that the rest of them had recognized Tobias's blades. He'd probably brandished them often enough, and were even now wondering how Radomir had stolen them into his own pockets. He had their attention, and almost certainly their obedience.
"The spaceport," Radomir said calmly. "Do you have any contacts there? Any influence?"
Suleiman Eichner looked around, then nervously shook his head.
"No, Sire Niklau, not to my knowledge."
Radomir flexed his fingers and began to calculate how best to kill them all. If they couldn't help him, they were a liability. He'd have to deal with Dark first.
"But Mademoiselle Bertin and her husband are indentured to House Brabantis itself," Eichner continued hastily. "We rarely see them, due to the nature of their service, but they are loyal to our cause, and we can get messages to them."
A slow smile began to spread across Radomir Niklau's face.